The clock is ticking. We are now 5 hours, 54 minutes out from the midnight Pennsylvania budget deadline. I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. While state leaders are not expected to finalize all details on time, this year's budget talks are markedly different from last year's when the impasse dragged on for 9 months. Joining me with a breakdown of what's happening in Harrisburg is Keystone Crossroads education reporter Kevin McCrory. Kevin, it seems leaders are close to a deal. How close?
Well, I should emphasize, Dave, that things are very fluid in the Capitol at this hour and nothing is finalized. But yesterday, the Senate approved a $31.5 billion spending plan, which has allocations for many of Governor Wolf's priorities. So it would boost basic education spending by $200 million, special education by $20 million, early childhood education by $30 million, and spending on the state's higher education institutions by $29 million. Wolf had originally sought more for education spending, but now considers these numbers a fair compromise. And the budget does also include $34 million boost for opioid abuse prevention and assistance, which was another one of his priorities. The House passed a budget earlier in the week that came in slightly lower than the Senate's plan, so the ball is now back in their court to see if they will agree, and that vote could happen tonight.
I have a question. Where's the new revenue going to be coming from?
Right. So far, we're just talking about where the money will be spent, not where it will be coming from. So when you get into that conversation, there are a lot of possibilities. Wolf had originally proposed hikes to sales and or personal income taxes, but he's taken those ideas off the table, and the conversation has moved to alternative sources. So a dollar hike in the state cigarette tax is being discussed, as are other taxes on other tobacco products. Also on the table is a gaming expansion that would legalize online gambling, daily fantasy sports, and allow slot machines in major airports.
At the risk of jinxing the proceedings, why do things seem to be proceeding much better this year?
Well, Dave, I think that there's a few big reasons for this. Last year's budget impasse was painful, very painful for schools and human service agencies. Many of them were forced to borrow money to get through the year and then were left holding the tab for the interest payments. So I think in all corners of the Capitol, there's little appetite for a sequel to that movie. Lawmakers don't want it to happen again. Governor Wolf is not pressing the issue this time around, even if he's not going to get everything he wants. So like last year, Wolf was willing to hold the line strong, it seemed, for his ideal proposals. And the Republicans who control the legislature weren't willing to bend. And that's pretty much what turned into a 9-month overdue budget impasse. And whoever you blamed for that, it really didn't leave anyone looking particularly good when the dust settled. So this year, all parties seem to be much more pragmatic.
And let's factor in November looming, an election year.
Exactly. So there's just more incentive to be productive, especially with the controversial bits, the sales tax or the personal income tax. If you take that off the table, there's just more incentive to be productive. I think one of the other major differences is last year, they were trying to accomplish these big things all at once, right? There was this grand bargain that was talked about and referred to as a framework agreement, and you had a big education funding boost resting on a revision of the state pension system, resting on changes to the state's alcohol laws, and that was just a house of cards on which it didn't seem anything of lasting substance could be built. This year, they've broken those things up, and it seems like, even though there's a lot still in flux, it seems to be a different story.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Dave.
WHYY's Kevin McCrory on NewsWorks Tonight. Meanwhile, across the Delaware River, there will not be a vote today in the New Jersey Senate to raise the gasoline tax to replenish the Transportation Trust Fund. Senate President Steve Sweeney says there wasn't enough support in the Senate for the bill the Assembly approved. It called for a 23-cent per gallon gas tax hike and a 1% cut in the sales tax. Sweeney says lawmakers could vote to replenish the Transportation Trust Fund soon after a compromise is reached.
We can bring people in within 48 hours and cast a vote. I can tell you, I don't think it's going to be July 4th weekend, so I would say it would be afterwards. Hopefully we can get agreement. We're willing to work through the weekend.
A measure to raise the gas tax and phase out the estate tax was also not posted for a Senate vote. Neither Hillary Clinton nor Donald Trump has begun advertising in Pennsylvania, which could be a key battleground state this fall. Though WHYY's Dave Davies reports allies of the two sides, including the National Rifle Association, are already weighing in on a TV near you.
The Clinton campaign recently spent millions on ads in eight battleground states, but the buy did not include airtime in Pennsylvania. The campaign is placing staff and opening field offices here, but isn't concerned enough yet to make it an advertising priority. But there will be plenty of activity in Pennsylvania by independent groups on both sides. At a public employee union headquarters in Philadelphia, labor, community, and environmental activists announced the creation of a group called For Our Future, which will be active in Pennsylvania and four other states. The funding's coming from wealthy environmentalist Tom Steyer and several national unions, including AFSCME, whose national president Lee Saunders says it's all about grassroots organizing.
So this effort isn't about yard signs. It's not about slick TV ads. It's about all of us coming together, having those kinds of conversations, heart to heart, soul to soul. We're going to do it, aren't we? Aren't we going to do this? And aren't we going to win?
Leaders didn't say whether For Our Future would advertise or how much money it would spend. The group has both a super PAC and a nonprofit organization, which can raise and spend money in the election without having to reveal its donors. Franklin and Marshall College analyst Terry Madonna says this is how it's going to be in Pennsylvania.
We're going to see an awful lot of special interest money. The super PACs, the dark money will flood into the state. The same is true for the U.S. Senate race, one of the top five Senate races in the country.
Indeed, the speakers at the For Our Future launch said they're also out to defeat incumbent Republican Senator Pat Toomey, who's in a tight race with Democratic challenger Katie McGinty. On the conservative side of the street, the National Rifle Association has spent $2 million to run a TV ad explicitly endorsing Donald Trump and attacking Hillary Clinton. Retired Marine Mark Geist narrates.
Hillary is president? No thanks. I served in Benghazi. My friends didn't make it.
There's no real fact-checking to be done here because the ad is pretty much fact-free. It simply associates Clinton with the 2012 attack on Benghazi, the subject of multiple investigations. Madonna says this is a familiar line of attack.
The Benghazi issue has been rehashed and rehashed, and it's what I call a reinforcing issue. If you believe that Secretary Clinton did something wrong, you go right on and you buy into it. If you believe she didn't, you just dismiss it. The fact is that the Benghazi issue is not changing very many minds.
While the Trump campaign has little cash and isn't advertising now, it's finally named a state director for Pennsylvania and is raising money for future ads. Dave Davies, WHYY News.
Sunshine, 84 degrees. It's 6:14. The evening forecast turning partly cloudy. There's a chance of isolated showers and storms overnight, low 69 degrees. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high 85, a 40% chance of precipitation. Ahead of the weekend, sunny days Saturday and Sunday, high both days 85 degrees. For the 4th of July, mostly sunny, high approaching 90. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on WHYY. A group of kids and dogs got together this week for an event called the Best Friends Bash. It was held for patients from both the Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania and the University of Pennsylvania's Veterinary Clinic. As WHYY's Todd Bookman reports, they bonded over scars, surgeries, and treats.
Decked out in her most formal bandana, Emma is one of the distinguished guests.
She is an 11-year-old golden retriever who had surgery at Penn Vet about 5 years ago. They removed about a third of her upper jaw in order to remove a tumor.
Erin Johnson, who is on the other end of Emma's leash, doesn't even notice anymore how her snout kind of just stops a few inches short of where it used to.
Any kids, all of them really love her because of her funny little nose that she has now, you know. So they always ask questions about why her tongue hangs out. But it's good just in terms of getting conversation started about being different is okay.
The kids here have their own differences. They've all undergone corrective facial operations, either because of genetic variations or some other congenital anomaly like a cleft palate. And inside an atrium on Penn's campus, the two groups hang out.
This is so fluffy.
There's face painting and games, popcorn and pizza, maybe a few extra scraps fall to the floor. Alex Reiter is head of oral surgery at Penn Vet.
if you can see into the eyes and into the face of the children as they approach a dog, as they pet a dog, and you see the warmth that comes back and the interaction between the dog and the child, this is just something very special.
One of the special kids here tonight is Alexis McGrantham. The 19-year-old came from New Jersey with her very patient mom, Kim.
It's a 2-hour drive to pet dogs. It's okay.
Alexis is soft-spoken, observing the action from the edge of the room.
I had my first surgery when I was 10 months old, and I had a lot of reconstructive surgeries. And I'll be having another one in September.
She says she gains confidence from the dogs.
I think I'm happy too, no matter what I go through. I'm happy, strong, and I can deal with any obstacle and make a good ending.
This is the fourth year of the Best Friends Bash. Scott Bartlett, who's head of plastic surgery at CHOP, says other hospitals around the country have heard about it and are now hosting their own events.
So I think it teaches the children that there are other people out there that have differences, dogs in this case, and they can be loved and loving. And it's just a great time for the children to understand that.
Nobody is getting more love than Lily. She's a beagle mix who, more than a dozen years ago, survived a gunshot.
And she's still here to tell the tale. No pun intended. Ba-dum-bump.
Marcia Nordgren is in a partying mood. She and Lily drove up from Virginia.
She has remained friendly. She still trusts humans despite what's happened to her. And she just shows that, we're all the same. We just have some variations. That's all. But we're all the same. And the fact that she has such a great spirit, it's never gotten her down.
That spirit seems to be contagious. It's definitely rubbing off on these kids. For WHYY News, I'm Todd Bookman.
Sports fans of all ages are getting into a game with a funny name. WHYY's Mark Eichmann has more on the pickleball craze in this report from the Delaware Desk.
It's a simple game with a funny name, and it's sweeping the country. Grab a paddle, and let's play pickleball.
Pickleball was originally discovered or found in 1965 by Senator Joel Pritchard of Washington State.
Kathy Casey is a member of the First State Pickleball Club in Lewis. As the story goes, the senator returned home from a game of golf with some friends and needed an activity for all of his family members. Casey says he grabbed whatever he saw.
He went into the garage, pulled out what he thought was going to be like badminton, and he couldn't find enough brackets for that. But he did find ping pong paddles, and he found some wiffle balls.
And with that, pickleball was born. It looks similar to tennis, badminton, or ping pong, and it's played on an area about a third the size of a tennis court with lightweight paddles and a wiffle-like ball. But the rules of the game make this sport so much fun because they dissolve the aggression often seen in other paddle sports. Husband and wife Tim and Diane Bain are avid pickleballers.
It's addictive. Once you start playing, you find yourself wanting to come out on a regular basis.
Tim, who has type 2 diabetes, says the rigorous movement has helped him drop the pounds, and tests show his health improving.
The A1C has gone down dramatically to where I'm not even diabetic at this stage.
77-year-old Georgia Bilger believes pickleball saved her life.
I had open-heart surgery. I had a quadruple bypass. And when I went into the hospital, they said I had to be the healthiest person in the hospital, aside from the blocked arteries, because I was so physically active with pickleball. And because I was, the blood found other routes to go to the heart, so I didn't have a heart attack. And I had a quick recovery.
Delaware is now taking notice of pickleball, according to First State Pickleball Club's Vaughn Baker.
A year ago when I would talk to people, people didn't know what pickleball was. Now everyone knows what pickleball is. They want to learn more.
There are also more places to play pickleball in Delaware, including three new pickleball courts at the Kent County Recreation Center. From the Delaware Desk, I'm Mark Eichmann, WHYY News.
And that's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Benyakov and Kimberly Haas, with additional production today from Brett Rader. Find us on iTunes or listen back at newsworks.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.